Good morning, everybody. You know, this is a subject that I don't care how old or young you are, you probably want to sit up and take notice. The book, Cracking the Aging Code. We've been trying to do that forever. The New Science of Growing Old and What It Means for Staying Young. Now, we've got everything in place, all kinds of enhancements and things that we do to look young. But does that mean we're going to stay young? Does that mean we're going to not age or age? Josh Middledorf and Dorian Sagan joins us this morning. And my goodness, such an extensive subject and a lot of research. You look at a lot of different research on and what people think about aging. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning, Twanda.
Why did you want to do this on Cracking the Aging Code of all things?
Well, this is a question that, as you say, is important to everybody. Mm-hmm. I used to be a scientist in the field of extragalactic nuclei. Well, gee, there aren't a lot of people you can talk to about that.
Exactly.
So I found that the same kind of computer modeling techniques that I was using in physics were applicable to evolution and ecology. Mm-hmm. And the message here is that evolution is not about selfish genes. Evolution is about integrated communities. It's about cooperation every bit as much as competition. And that's what I've tried to show in my scientific work.
Very scientific. So you talk about, and I love, I was reading and You Are Not a Car, which was really cute. I love all the analogies and the comparisons to a car. And most of us think that, I think the majority of people think that you're born, you live, and you die. That's the process. That's what's going to happen. That's what should happen. That's what happens. And you guys say, wait a minute, hold up. Not necessarily so.
Josh, can I take this a little bit? I'll be real quick. Yeah, it's really seductive to think that you're just gonna wear out. But the problem with scientific theories is that they have to not only make sense, they also have to match the evidence. And you know what? The body knows. The body is not as stupid as we are. Mm-hmm. It knows how to repair itself. It knows how to do all sorts of things we don't know how to do. Your blood clots, your bruises heal, you grow stronger. And we do have a tendency to fade away with age. But when you look at other species, some of them don't do that. Even species that are relatively close to us, like whales, like lobsters, like clams. I mean, these are animals. There's a lot more organisms on Earth than just animals, and some animals with backbones don't show any signs of aging in the sense of being more likely to die next year than this year. On mm-hmm. the other hand, there's other animals with backbones like salmon and lampreys that just die as soon as they reproduce. Some of them don't ever eat right. after they reproduce. Mm-hmm. So there's a whole bunch of variations on it, and what it looks like happened with the car analogy is that because we have a relatively slow die-off, you know, as we get older, we like to think of it. It's very seductive to think that we just grow older because we are gradually wearing down. But when you look at the evidence and you look at other organisms, that's not the case. The body knows a lot more than we give it credit for. And you have to match the scientific theory with the evidence. And that's what this book, Cracking the Aging Code, does.
So Dorian, are you saying that, you know, we don't have to age as early as we do? And so why not? What happens? And all of the scientific evidence with the animals was just amazing. Some that age, some that don't age, some that never die, some that live 700 and some that live thousands of years old. It's amazing.
And some that age backwards.
Yes,
that happened to us.
Yes.
We would be really stressed out. And instead of freaking out and getting older and dying or being depressed and rolling up into a ball, we would go through puberty backwards and have another new lease on life. So, yeah, there's amazing things. What it looks like, Twanda, is that in those populations, in those species that have had a tendency to grow too fast, to reproduce too fast, and therefore to expose themselves to mass extinction, to mass destruction by running out of food all at the same time and dying of starvation, or by becoming so populous that a pathogen spreads through an epidemic and then they all die at once. those organisms have derived a clear evolutionary benefit from dying in order on a relatively regular basis. And we come from such a fast breeding mammals that tend to grow too fast, and maybe other organisms apparently don't, and they don't have the same sort of genetic fast dying heritage. But it's not black and white as far as you either age or you mm-hmm. don't age, because these genes that control aging are labile, they're plastic, they're able to vary how fast you age. And so there are certain things that we can do that will make us not age as fast as we ordinarily do, but they're not the things that you necessarily think. Some of them are and some of them aren't. For example, food, which keeps us alive, is good, but even if we eat the most organic, natural food, by eating just well, not even too much, we're telling the body that we have plenty of food in the environment. And historically, evolutionarily, that's a problem, because it means that we may have so much food that we reproduce so fast that then we run out of all that food, for example, at the same time, and then we all die. So it's advantageous when conditions are right in a species such as our own to die on time. But we can dial down, as Josh likes to say, the aging program. So it's not cut and dry. There are things that we can do, especially if we understand why we're aging and that it's not what we've been told.
Oh, yeah. You talk about, and I thought this was interesting, women have longer life expectancies than men, and women who have more children have a slightly longer life expectancy. And the more you exercise, the longer you live. Food deprivation is a royal road to a long and healthy life.
So a lot of the theory in aging is about trade-offs. If you have a lot of children, well, that should make you live shorter. If you invest a lot of energy in exercise, mm-hmm. well, that's energy you're not using to repair yourself. Mm-hmm. And those theories have turned out to be dead wrong. Mm. In fact, having more children extends your lifespan. In fact, doing vigorous exercise extends your lifespan. So this is one of the ways that we know that the evolutionary theory of aging was just wrong. Mm-hmm. It was moving in the wrong direction. If I may move now into the medical consequences of this, really the most interesting consequences of the book, I think, are for medical science. What does this mean?
Right.
It means that we've been looking under the wrong tree for ways to cure cancer, mm-hmm. cure heart disease, mm-hmm. and cure Alzheimer's disease. We've been trying to think, well, you know, what goes wrong with the body and how can we help the body to do a better job? Well, the body is trying to destroy itself. And if we want to live for a longer time, helping the body is not the right approach. We're going to have to reconfigure the body, find those signals that are telling the body to destroy itself, and send the youthful signals instead of the aging signals. We know how to do that. It's the science of epigenetics and the science of molecular signaling.
So
biochemical signaling is something that we're understanding better and better. And I think we'll be able to control aging at the signaling level, really in the relatively near future, the next few decades.
So what should we, can we do something as the holders of the body to tell it, send it the aging signals, or is that all bio? Is that all some kind of physiology that needs to be done?
Well, the big breakthroughs are just over the horizon. And in the coming years, I think there'll be things we can do that actually turn the clock back. But in the short run, yes, there are many things we can do to live longer and healthier lives. The individual things involve getting a lot of exercise, keeping your weight down. Intermittent fasting is important. Mm-hmm. And there are a few supplements that help. Huge doses of vitamin D, much, much more vitamin D than your doctor recommends.
Wow.
And tiny doses of aspirin are helpful, and other anti-inflammatory agents. Melatonin is an anti-aging. Just a pinch of melatonin at bedtime is good. Very vigorous exercise, just working yourself out until you're panting, you can't breathe anymore. You do that a couple of times a day, even for a minute or two. It it has enormous benefits for longevity. But you know what the most important thing is for longevity? It's a surprise. It was really a surprise when I looked at the statistics, and people don't think about this, but it's your social relations. If you're happily married, if you have good relations with your children, if you're plugged into your community and you're doing things that you think are important and contributing to your community, that adds 10 years to your life. It's more than any of these individual things. So it's really a heartwarming message of the science that social relations, being actively engaged and fulfilling activities, this is a way to make your life more meaningful in the present, and it's also the best thing you can do for yourself in the long run.
So does that mean in families that perhaps have folks that live very long in sort of 90s and 100s, does genes have anything to do with it, or is it all about how we care for the body?
When you're 70, 80 years old, the activities and the way you care for your body are more important than the genes. Mm-hmm. As you get to 90, 100 years old, the genes take over. And if you don't have those genes for longevity at present, there's nothing you can do to be a centenarian if it's not programmed in your genes. Mm. But in the near future, that could change.
Okay. Okay. I've got an 89-year-old grandmother who's going strong, so just wondering about that. You really talk about this. The more you work your body, the more the repair mechanisms get ramped up. And so there's this action that happens no matter who you are, that you must be active and not a couch potato.
This is a real surprise. It's called hormesis, H-O-R-M-E-S-I-S. It was controversial for a while, but the evidence is overwhelming. There are lots of kinds of challenges, hardships, that actually make the body live longer. The body overcompensates. What's the, you know, why, how does this make any sense? The kind of sense it makes is that ecosystems have to be stable, and it means leveling out the death rate. When times are hard, that's a signal that there are others that are dying and others not being able to do so well, and it's... aging takes a vacation because it figures, well, you know, there are others who are starving to death. There are others who are just stressed out and dying. So hormesis is the word for stress that actually improves your health and longevity.
That's good to know. You know, a lot of seniors will just go sit down, oh, I've done all that stuff, I'm not going to do that anymore. And so we've got to get them up and active, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. Josh Middledorf, and he operates agingadvice.org, and Dorian Sagan, a celebrated writer as an accomplished ecological philosopher and theorist. They've written the book Cracking the Aging Code, The New Science of Growing Old, and What It Means for Staying Young. Very interesting book. Thank you so much for joining us.